Accession number 20457, reel 15.
Brigadier Randall, reel 15. I think you were saying that you were sent off on an independent role with a squadron.
Well, that was it. During the fighting round Imphal, I was sent off with a chap called Bernard Lorraine Smith to do a sweep right round the I think a large lake there. But no one said who was going to be the overall command. It didn't matter because I knew Bernard Smith, and we both were. And we did this interop operation, but it wasn't easy because we hadn't really got our drills worked. I mean, I went, first of all, he said, let's you chaps move up, sit on my tank. So I got the whole of my company onto his tank. I sat on his tank, and bled if we didn't go into a minefield. And I had this bomb. These mines were attached to aircraft bombs, so that blew his tank up. It didn't do his tank any good. I got blown off, literally blown off the top of the tank. That's why I'm deaf to this day. That was a bit of a setback, but he got another tank up. But then he said, well, you clear down that side of the lake. But it was a very, very thick jungle. And he said, I'm going to stand off here. When he was out in ice open cut, he couldn't understand why it was taking so long for me to clear through this stuff, but we ran into quite a lot of Japs, and I had casualties, but it was so thick that he could do nothing to help me.
He couldn't see, presumably.
We couldn't see, really. Mm. And even if he couldn't have fired with any degree of accuracy. Mm. We had no guns in support. So looking back on it, it wasn't a model operation. It wasn't because he wasn't being helpful, but I don't think he realised how difficult it was going through thick stuff. Mm. And then he got bored and said, well, I'm pushing off back. I said, well, thanks very much. So I carried on and cleared this place. So the thing, we hadn't perhaps got quite the smooth sort of thing that if we'd had more time to practice, start with, and more practical experience, that people achieve in Normandy or in the desert, where you really did get complete integration. And of course, there was only one armoured regiment for a Brit. There was it worked out at one squadron per battalion. So wouldn't necessarily be working with me all the time. So that one, looking back, one didn't get the degree of integration and smooth working that one would have had if we'd had more chance to practice it beforehand and more tanks around.
Did you eventually devise ways of working together by dint of experience?
Not really, no. I mean, somebody should have thought this communication business out, and somehow or other he should have been given a radio, or there should have been some system whereby, as it's common practice nowadays, he's either on my company command net, or at least he can flick across. I mean, it's still boiled down. If there wasn't any enemy around, I could go along and climb up in his tank and discuss it with him, or he could dismount and come and talk with me, or I could go and talk on his telephone behind his tank. But as I said earlier, that wasn't always a very nice thing to do. We never really cracked it, to the same extent that we've got such close cooperation with gunners.
One of the obvious difficulties of putting together tanks and infantry are not used to working with each other is that tanks can run over the infantry. Did you ever have an instance of that?
No, we didn't. Mm. No, I don't quite know why not. Mm. But then, see, they went off to harbour at last. Their tanks. Mm. Come 6 o'clock in the evening, they whip the bales and off they go. They didn't stay around in our positions at night. Mm. I don't think we wanted them, really, because for that very reason, and also they're very, very conspicuous things. There wasn't time to dig them down, so they disappeared back to regimental lager or squadron lager. Mm. So they were only with us by day. And then because the ratio of tanks to infantry was so slight. I mean, there was but a lot of the operations one didn't have tanks. I mean, a lot of the fighting around Mechtilla, both in the well, wasn't involved with tanks at all.
Can you remember an instance when you did an operation in which the tanks gave you valuable and worthwhile support?
Well, when we captured, our brigade was given the task of capturing West Mechtilla. Mm-hmm. The 1st 10th Gurkhas set off. Then, late one night, we passed through them. I passed through company of the 1st 10th. And then I came across this Japanese field hospital, which is one of the most frightful sights. It was getting dark. The thing was on fire. There were Japanese wounded being burnt. The place was running with vomit, excreta, gangrene. I've never seen anything like it. It was just lit by candles, and there was a, it was a sight out of, literally out of hell. But I just looked in there, and Japanese chap sort of waved at me. I couldn't spare soldiers to go and help these chaps. All I could do was to get a radio message back to say, look, the field ambulance better get up here quickly. And pushed on in the gathering gloom up to the main east-west axis. Stayed the night. Then the next morning, there was a tactical operation called a company sweep. And I was ordered to push on at dawn the next morning, early next morning, on a company sweep. Well, the fact is that on a company sweep, you deploy on as wide a front as you can. So, and I was given one tank, and I had an FOO. Well, shortly after setting off, I ran into the main Japanese position there. I managed to get some ground. The FOO was killed next door to me, and my leading platoon commander was killed. And it was clear to me I was up against the main Japanese position. And of course, being in the company sweep formation, I'd already got my two leading platoons already deployed. Anyway, I couldn't get any further, so I consolidated the ground that I did. And then that afternoon, the CO and the B Company commander, the other commander, he came up, and I could tell them, point out all the places where the Japanese were, and then he put in a successful attack with a whole squadron of tanks. Mm. He had 20 tanks, and that was very successful.
How were the tanks used on that occasion?
Well, they were just used. The Japanese dug into these a lot of these sort of dugout positions, defensive bunkers.
Yes.
So the tanks just went along and stuck the 75mm gun into the thing and pulled the trigger and just shot the Japs to pieces inside the thing. Really. One of our chaps got a Victoria Cross there in that attack.
But I mean, on that occasion, did the tanks go first? Did they go with the infantry? With the infantry.
Yeah.
What sort of formation were the infantry in and the tanks, you know? Was it a section per tank?
Well, they had sort of a section per tank, I think. The section was on either side. I mean, I saw this tech gate. Yes.
Would it be that there'd be the tank, and then there'd be five men on each side of it?
I think there'd be about three or four men on either side.
The
platoon commander or someone would be trying to indicate to the tank commander if he couldn't see where the bunker was.
So would he be riding on the turret then, or on the...
Well, I don't think he sat on the turret, but somehow he shouted at him or something like that.
Yes.
Fortunately, the Japanese were not infantry. Although they fought pretty bravely, they had no anti-tank weapons. They were taking a bit of a chance, actually, in some ways. I mean, if they'd had bazookas or something like that.
Or mines,
but they didn't. That was successful.
Was that Japanese position wired as well as dug in?
No, they didn't have any wire or very little. They were holding a thing called Red House, that was the main, all around that. And I got about halfway to Red House and was coming under such hell of a lot of heavy fire from dug-in positions that I realised that without any artillery preparation. And I was just beginning to lay on a fire plan when the FMO was killed.
Yes.
And though he had a sergeant with him who did his best, it was clear to me, and I had to tell him that. I said, "Look, I lost the platoon commander. The FO is killed. I don't really think, and as I'm so widely deployed, I don't really think I'm in a position to." Mm. The CO, I had a super CO from that point of view, and he came up, he called up, and he said, "Well, we discussed it." And he said, "I think you're absolutely right. You stay where you are, and I'll push B Company through. I'll get another FOO, and I'll get another. I get 20 tanks instead of the one tank you've got," which is the right thing to do.
Was this mixed attack by tanks and infantry supported by artillery? Was there a preliminary bombardment?
I think they put down concentrations on all the places that I'd identified as Japanese. I think we pulled back a little bit because we were pretty close.
Yes.
And they gave it a good stonk with a few... artillery. I think we had a field regiment, and I think there were some mediums and gave it a pretty good pasting, and battalion mortars, and then they went in. A Company went in with these squadron of tanks.
Mm. When you were doing your company sweep, it sounds to me as though it was a sort of reconnaissance in force, really, an attempt.
Yeah, you just sort of spread out in a big line.
Find the enemy.
Yes. Well, that's it. Mm. You see. Mm. I mean, looking back, I think it was wrong to leave. I was a forward company.
Yeah.
To just push off next day. What he should have done was to say, well, I was told not to patrol forward during, so I said no patrols out during the night, except just little local ones. We could hear Japs around. But, I mean, what I should have done was to have set off patrols first thing the next morning. And patrolled out and discovered where the Japs were. But as it was, we took off shortly after light against cutting we'd never seen in daylight, all spread out, because that was the sort of required formation. So it wasn't the best operation I took part in.
And you were spread out presumably on foot, the company.
Oh, yes.
Not in vehicles.
Oh, no, on foot. Mm.
On the way down to Mactella, when you were doing this road move by transport, what sort of speed were you going? How many miles a day were you moving?
We were covering quite a lot of ground, yes. Mm. We crossed over. It took about 3 or 4 days for the whole division to get across the river. Mm. And then we all formed up in this vast position. Then I was the lead company of the division to start with. I had a mixed group of squadron of tanks and a battery of guns in my company. Mm. And we pushed on pretty fast. Mm. And I think there were armoured cars out ahead of us.
Yes.
And then after I'd been going about 3 or 4 hours, there was a very noticeable hill feature, and I was told to occupy that with the gunner. And then another company of ours leapfrogged through, which made a lot of sense, actually.
That sounds rather like a motorised group picketing the heights.
Well, it's in a sense, yes. But there weren't many Japs around. I mean, this was a very dominant feature, and though I was a bit sorry to lose my position as the vanguard, it made sense to me. Mm. The only trouble was, coming in that night, somebody had told them that the whole division was in, and so as I was coming back in, I was shot up by the West Yorks, which annoyed me no end. Mm. And in fact, in the melee, I killed a couple of West Yorks, which is unfortunate. Mm.
Presumably, I mean...
That was bad. That was bloody bad. Yeah. I mean, that shouldn't have happened at that stage in the war. Mm. But they said, well, somebody said, oh, well, but the Baluchis, everybody's in now. And so we came along the road back in, and then we came under fire from the West Yorks. And we, I think my chap, nobody quite knew what it was. It was a bit of a firefight till it was clear to me. I could hear British soldiers say, stop firing. And, you know, got a grip on it. But by that time... Mm. We'd killed a couple of them, and one of my chaps was wounded, which is unfortunate. It happens in war, but it shouldn't have happened at that stage.
Well, obviously somebody wasn't counting. At least not counting.
Well, there wasn't a proper, you know, it wasn't counting, but I mean, clear orders hadn't been given as to what the order of march was. Whether it was, I don't know whose fault it was.
Was it perhaps because you were moving so fast at that stage that things were beginning to get a bit...
Well, you see, the Baluchi were leading it. They went through, and then there were the two other battalions of the brigade.
Brigade,
and, well, a lot more, a hell of a lot of people. And then somebody, I think someone fairly high, I've simply forgotten that my company, the Baluchis, was back on this hill. They correctly ordered me to pull out. I got I can't remember from my colonel. But nobody told them that this company was coming in.
Well, presumably someone should have warned the West Yorkshires that
exactly,
your company
they should have
was
said that
about to enter their location.
Well, exactly. But they didn't, anyway. I mean, fortunately, it didn't affect too much. But it was unfortunate, really. I mean, to kill two of our own soldiers like that wasn't a very happy start. And it, you know, slight sort of lack of confidence in the management if they couldn't get a thing like that done. However, that happens in war.
You were saying that the Japanese not expected the attack on Mactilla. I mean, did you see any signs yourself that they had been taken by surprise during the course of that?
Well, we ran into a whole lot of administrative units.
Yes. Well, the field hospital, I suppose, also.
Yes. We had one amusing incident because we were very strict orders that we would make quite sure we didn't sort of hurt any Burmese. The journeys, we had no casualties. And at some stage there was a halt, and I sent a little sort of local protection out, and they came across a whole lot of Japanese having it off with some Burmese girls. And I could just see through the glasses. There was this sort of pantomime scene, and my section commander all round there with the sort of guns at the ready. Then all of a sudden, out of the bushes came the girls sort of pulling up their knickers, running that way, and the Japanese running that way. And there was a quick stutter of Tommy gun fire, and the Japanese had it. But I always thought of bad luck on their chaps. And then there were some more Japs down in a sort of dugout place. And it took some time to get with some Burmese girls. We had to get these Burmese girls to come out. And then as soon as they came out, they, against the Geneva Convention, they chucked these phosphorus grenades down, which you shouldn't do, and burnt the Japanese. But then that was they were really smoke grenades, but they were devastating, much better than a grenade than a 36 grenade, because he either got burnt alive or smoked to death. So they were very effective bit of kit, actually. But it was a sort of pantomime season, a pantomime sort of picture of my soldiers being punctilious about not killing any Burmese. Quite right so, too.
Well, or perhaps it was natural gallantry and not wanting to attack women, because presumably it would not be considered an honourable thing to do, to attack women.
Oh, no, quite. But
even women who are consorting with the enemy.
Yes. Yeah, but, I mean, you could have said, well, if they're consorting with them, we might have taken the attitude, you know, that, well, we can't risk it, and so if they're with the Japanese, we'll kill the lot. But anyway, and absolutely rightly so, that we had to be punctilious about sparing civilian life. Public relations with the Burmese were stressed. And it made common sense. Also, from a moral point of view, as you rightly point out, you know, we weren't there to make war on women.
So, I mean, in other words, when you got into this area, the Japanese were not really prepared to meet.
No,
them.
I mean, we didn't come across anywhere in the advance. We set off in a sort of north-easterly direction.
Yes.
I'm never quite sure whether that was because the best track went there or whether it was because it was leading to Mandalay. I like to think it was a bit of both. That it might have, any Japanese reports would have said, oh, well, they're heading towards Mandalay. And then having got on the main Mandalay Mactilla road, we then swung right and headed for Mactilla. See, Mactilla was the key focal point from road, rail. It also critically had these two major airfields. And the whip was really out. I mean, it was shit or bust. Nothing was. So we really did have to press on. Mm. That probably explains why I was ordered to do this company sweep. The brigadier probably felt I haven't got time to send patrols out. Let the company act as a company sweep, and that'll do both jobs. If it's light opposition, the company will clear it. Mm. If it's heavy opposition, it will at least identify where the Japs are. So to that extent, it was probably made sense.
How far out of Mactilla itself were the Japanese when you found them by this company sweep?
Oh, well, we didn't strike. We met odd parties of Japanese all the way down. I mean, I say we, I don't mean my battalion, but the division. Mm. We didn't really come up against any serious Japanese operative until we got to Mactilla itself.
But when on the day you did the company sweep, was that from Mactilla that you went?
Oh, I was in the heart of West Mactilla then. Yes. I'd closed up to the east-west route.
So you went off, and how were they actually still in? When you found this Japanese position, were they actually in within Mactilla?
Mactilla.
They were inside Mactilla.
But you see, we were given these. West Mactilla was the old sort of cantonment part.
Yes.
There were only European houses and things in that part. Mm. I mean, this red house, I think, had been a European school or something. Mm. I mean, it was just lucky that our brigade was given West Mactilla. The really tough fighting, which took 3 or 4 days, was in East Mactilla, where the other brigade got it. So there we had some pretty, we had some quite tough fighting, but we didn't have quite the same difficulty, nor were we in such close, the buildings were all well spaced out and that sort of thing. So it wasn't such a tough assignment as the other side made to.
Well, presumably, if the buildings were spaced out, there was a bit of open ground, the tanks would have been reasonably useful.
Well, that's right, well, as indeed they were, really.
More than in a really cluttered.
Yes. So I was quite near. I had been in a defensive position in 1942.
Yes.
Coming out, not quite the same. I can't pretend that, but I was certainly in West Mactilla in 1942, dug in. Mm. Not we were attacked there, but it was a little bit ironic to find myself attacking a place that I'd been defending 3 years before.
When you went to the field, went through the Japanese field hospital or past it, were there any staff there, or was it just the wounded?
Didn't seem to be any staff. Mm. I mean, it really was a horrifying. I mean, it was guttering candles. There was this Japanese chap sitting there who smiled at me, sort of obscene, and waved there. And there were beds. I mean, there were wounded. I mean, I didn't stay there long. There were wounded. There were sick. The place, I've never smelt anything so ghastly. Mm. I mean, it was a sort of picture out of hell, really. Mm. The Japanese now pride themselves on their administration, but I mean, this is a base hospital. Mm. As far as they knew, it was 100 miles behind the lines. I mean, it was an absolute disgrace.
Was it under cover? Was it under canvas? Or?
It was in a sort of basha.
In a basha?
Yeah. Mm. Sort
of. Have you any idea at all of the numbers in there when you saw them?
It wasn't very big. I mean, I think 40 or 50 chaps I could see. Mm. There was no way I could. My orders were to push on. I mean, I couldn't spare men to go and start dragging. I could hear these chaps screaming, and the place was on fire. All I could do was, I often thought about it afterwards, but I did all I thought I practically could, which was to send a message to get field ambulance up. Mm. I believe they did come up and do what they could. Mm. I mean, we weren't there to fight wounded soldiers, and within one reason, I felt I did all I practically could in the circumstances. Mm.
What happened then after Mactilla? You'd gone into West.
Well, we kept in Mactilla.
Yes.
Well, then of course, the 3rd Brigade of the division was flown in, 99 Brigade.
That flew into the airfields around Mactilla.
That's right. Mm. Then all land communication with the rest of Burma was upstate, and the division dug in to hold Mactilla against the anticipated, as indeed materialised, very fierce and ferocious Japanese counterattacks. Mm. and the division relied on air support. I mean, air supply.
Where were you? Were you on the perimeter?
Well, we dug in positions on the west side of Mactilla. But then we didn't just sit there. We went out on sort of. A lot of patrolling went out. I went out on a few patrols myself, just to, well, because I thought company commander should go out on patrols, not always sit back. So I went out on patrols myself. Sometimes we went out in strength, and that's what.
What were the aims of the patrols? Were they to?
I think to identify where the Japanese were, if any small parties to deal with them, if there were signs of them digging in or something, to find out as much about them and report back, and then they would be dealt with. And then the battalion, we did this, I was sent out in this independent role that I mentioned earlier, and the battalion went out again and on a sort of punitive sweep. And then we were just about. Another time we went out, and I was going to do a dawn attack on a particularly strong-held Japanese village, which, frankly, I wasn't all that happy about. When suddenly a new threat of Japanese arrived at Mactilla, so we roared back to do that. So there was it wasn't by any means passive defence. It was a very active defence. And gradually, the Japanese got less and less aggressive.
Did they make any major attempts on the Mactilla position?
Yes, but again, not so much on our front. They seemed to be more on the east side. So I think 48 Brigade then got more of it than we did. There was quite a bit of shelling went on. They brought up some guns and shelled us quite a bit. There was one lovely incident where, during the attack on Mactilla, we sent our D Company off right to the west to hold a place where the road going west from Mactilla and the railway went to a particular same area. And he was sitting there feeling rather bored when all of a sudden, from the west, he could hear a train coming, a steam engine, and all of a sudden this sort of Japanese goods train arrived driven with a British locomotive. And the Jap had no idea that British. Anyway, he ran the gauntlet of the whole of D Company, firing with Bren guns and everything else. It didn't seem to hit him, the good old British. He crouched down and the steel in this locomotive. Anyway, he passed through, and they all sort of sat down and relaxed. Anyway, the old Jap driver got it towards Mactilla, and he realised that the Japanese no longer held Mactilla. So he instead of leaving his train and disappearing, he got up a hell of a head of steam, and D Company suddenly woke up. They suddenly heard this train come roaring back, and it ran the gauntlet again. And of course, this company commander got a lot of flack. I said, well, goodness me, you mean with 13 Brens who couldn't hit them? But it speaks volumes for the good steel put into that locomotive and for the courage of the engine driver.
And he got away again, clear away.
They got away. I hope he survived the war, that chap. He deserved to. So anyway, the operations run, they gradually eased up.
How long did that take for this?
It was about 3 weeks to a month. And then the division, we were then ordered to march south to a place called Piabwe, where we did some fighting there. We captured a place called, had a big battalion attack on a place called Point 500.
What had happened to Mactilla then in the meantime? Had it been, had communications been opened back to the rest of the
13th communications
Army?
Then opened up where, I think by that time Mandalay had been relieved. And really, there were no organised Japanese of any size anywhere to the north of us. And so attention then came to capturing Rangoon and getting Rangoon before the monsoon, because our